Lord, we worship you. You can be seated.
Leave and head back out to the children's ministry at this time. And thank you guys for being here. Let's give them a hand today. Amen. Thank you so much for worshiping with us today in this part of our service. Again, thank you. You know, a meal to remember. That steak looks good, doesn't it? Yeah. You know, I remember meals. I'm sorry. You see, I've eaten a bunch of them. But I remember, even I was thinking last night, and when you can't sleep and your mind wanders, you can do about anything. But I got to thinking about the earliest meal that I remember. How many remember the earliest meal? I'm sure that's not something you really think about a lot. But I remember when I was, about 3 years old, or maybe just turned four. I don't know. Probably just had turned four. I remember being at my grandma and grandpa's. And I remember my grandpa, I remember having a great meal of fried chicken. Even back then, fried chicken was good. And the preacher thing. And I remember having fried chicken and mashed potatoes and gravy and corn and green beans. And I remember the old pie safe that sat behind my grandma and grandpa's table. And remember in that pie safe, grandma had a apple pie in there. And I remember that meal. I remember that meal, and then I thought, advanced up in years to when all of us kids came back for Thanksgiving with our kids, and we would sit around at mom and dad's house, but this time grandma and grandpa had went on to be with the Lord, and they would come back, and in my mom and dad's little farmhouse, they would be sometimes upwards to 40 people for Thanksgiving meal. And to be able to sit there and all the preparation time. And you know, as I think about the Thanksgiving meal, man, was it a feast. Was it a feast? My wife used to get mad at me. Go figure that. But anyway, Lucas and I'd be going down to my mom and dad's and we'd be talking about, I wonder what mom's going to have for dinner today. She said, all you go down there for is this. I said, oh no, it's not all I go down there for, but it's an added benefit. To be able to go down there and eat. But, I've thought about that over the years, and I've come to this conclusion. It was more than the food. Much, much more than just the food. Because it was the fellowship. It was the times like we had on a mission trip to Illinois recently when we had a Moose and Judy meal on Thursday when we went over to their house for a late lunch. And to be able to sit there, that was a pretty good feast, wasn't it, Christine? I mean, they put out the feed. I mean, they had three or four different types of meat, and they had friendship potatoes. And if it had been a funeral, it had been funeral potatoes. And if it had been a wedding, they would have been wedding potatoes. They anoint them whenever they did. It comes out, that's what it is. But anyway, great, great, kind of like a scallop potato dish and all the other stuff that went along with it. But you know what made that meal the most special for me was not sitting down and sinning. I try not to, but it was hard not to eat that extra spoonful. But what made it more special for me was the fellowship. It was special to be able to, some of the greatest times of my life have been around meals. But it wasn't the meals themselves that made it great. It was a time of being with people. It was a time of talking about what's going on in everyday life. We live in such a hurried, busy society today that a lot of times we, and even my own family, don't take the time to sit down and have meals together. And I miss that. I miss talking at the table or watching Andy Griffith, what our family does. I miss those times. And this was one of the times that Jesus is talking about here when he was invited to the Pharisee's house to have a meal. And we're going to talk about a meal to remember. And I'm almost guarantee you that there were three people that remember this meal. Number one, I bet that the lady that was there remembers the meal. I bet Simon remembers the meal. And I know the Savior remembers the meal because he has it recorded for us in the Scripture. And if you would turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 7, and we're going to take God's Word today and we're going to read beginning with verse
36, beginning with verse 36. Let's stand as we read God's word today. It says, "Then one of the Pharisees invited him to eat with him. He entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And a woman in the town who was a sinner," go figure that. Aren't all women sinners? Come on, guys, help me out. Aren't all women sinners? Aren't all men sinners? You ladies could say amen on that one too. But she was a sinner. She was a notorious. And the woman in the town who was a sinner found out that Jesus was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house. She brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, and she stood behind him at his feet weeping and began to wash his feet with her tears. She wiped his feet with her hair of her head, kissing them and anointing them with the fragrant oil. Then the Pharisee who had invited him saw this. He said to himself, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known what kind of woman this is who is touching him. She's a sinner." Jesus replied to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And if Jesus has something to say, we ought to listen. "And teacher," he said, "say it." "A creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. Since they could not pay it back, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one who forgave more." And Jesus responded, "You have judged correctly," he told him. Turning to the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she, with her tears, has washed my feet and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she hasn't stopped kissing my feet since I came in. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I tell you, her sins are many, have been forgiven. That's why she loved much. But the one who is forgiven little loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this man who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you that it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts to the marrow of the soul. And so, Lord, I ask you right now that you might speak through me again. God, allow me to speak your word with clarity today and with your power and with your anointing. Because if I don't, I don't really have a reason to be here. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me be seated today. Thank you for standing for that long, lengthy passage of Scripture. But I want to talk about this meal to remember today because it begins with Simon the Pharisee. It begins with Simon the Pharisee inviting Jesus to his house. I mean, we know his name is Simon. At first it doesn't tell us. It just says a Pharisee invited him to the house. And then we find out later on that it was Simon. And you know that the Pharisees were on Jesus' case. I mean, they didn't like anything that he was doing. They didn't like his methods. They didn't like it because he was eating with publicans and sinners. And so they said, "Hey, we're going to have this guy to our house. Maybe he won't go out and hang out with sinners today. Maybe if we have him in our house, he won't deal with those sinful women. And he won't be dealing with all those tax collectors and publicans. And we want to examine him." And by the way, you know, when they invited him to the house, it was not just, you know, Simon and Simon's family and Jesus. The disciples were there. It was a social gathering. And I like social gatherings. I love to hang out. I love hanging out and eating, and we're going to do that next Sunday. And how many is looking forward to next Sunday? We have two of you that are. Well, come on, hang out. The church is going to provide the meat. We're going to get somebody that can cook really well, and they're going to cook that stuff up. And we're going to go over there. We're going to have a baptism, and we're going to have a great time of food, and we're going to have a great time of fellowship. There's baseball fields over there, tennis courts, basketball, all kinds of stuff that we're going to have fun next Sunday afternoon hanging out, which is my spiritual gift. I love to hang out. And Simon, but this was a social gathering. I mean, they had all kinds of people there at the meal when they invited Jesus. It was almost, if you read here within between the lines a little bit and within the context of where it is in the Greek, it was like Simon almost had to invite Jesus to lunch. Have you ever been to a lunch when somebody had to invite you? You've never been there? You know, I'm being a preacher, I've been there. When somebody had, you knew that they really didn't want me, but they had me anyhow, and it was kind of like it was their duty to have the preacher over. You know, my first 5 weeks of pastoring, I had fried chicken 11 times. There's nothing wrong with that. It was good fried chicken. But you know, it was that, you know, and they didn't have to go kill the bird. It wasn't that far back. Anyway, you know, I had a lot of fried chicken, and one of those times I remember I was eating their fried chicken, because if I hadn't been there, they'd been having fried preacher, because that's what they had every other day anyway. But I knew that I was a guest in their house that day, and I was a gracious 20-year-old guest, but I knew that I wasn't really welcome, and I really wasn't wanted. And I'll guarantee you that Jesus walked into Simon the Pharisee's house, and he knew that he was an invited guest, but he really wasn't wanted. Have you ever been someplace where you really wasn't wanted? You don't feel real good, do you? You don't feel real comfortable. You don't feel like kicking your shoes off. Well, maybe you do. Have you ever been in one of those places where it was just such an atmosphere that you couldn't be yourself? How many's ever been there? It's not comfortable. That's who Simon was. Then you have the Savior. You have the Savior. Jesus was in the house. And man, I wish, and maybe in heaven someday, and I know we'll all be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, all the believers, but however it all goes out, we're going to have a feast with Jesus one of these days. And the Savior was in the house. Jesus was in the house. I mean, here is the one who was sinless. Here's the one now who had lived for about 31 years. And not one time he'd ever missed the mark. Here is the one that everybody, the buzz was about the whole area. Here is the one who healed the sick. Here is the one who gave sight to the blind. Here is the one who raised dead people from the grave or on their way to the grave. Here was the one who could radically change lives, and he came into a house and he really wasn't even wanted. And then you have the sinful woman. She wasn't invited. She was not invited. Have you ever had somebody crash a party that wasn't invited to your party, that you really didn't want at your party? I want you to know Jesus wanted this sinful woman there, but I promise you, Simon the Pharisee did not want this sinful woman at his party. Matter of fact, if you look at the context there, the context of the scripture, she probably had been a prostitute who Jesus had saved. She had probably one time had practiced prostitution and had come out of that lifestyle of prostitution. And it doesn't specifically say that, but it is there within that. When it's talking about a sinful woman, that's what they described as a sinful woman. So she had probably came out of the sin of prostitution. And she probably not only was a prostitute, but she was one who people knew about. She had a bad reputation. I want you to know, people with bad reputations and people like me and people like you who are sinners need to come to the Savior. You see, we get to thinking, guys, I am sick and tired of watching churches huddle together in their own clubs and not impact the lostness of our world. I'm sorry, it's a little fresh today, okay? I saw it yesterday big time. We met yesterday, and I'm grateful that Brookside Reformed Church allows Sunrise Baptist to meet there. I want you to know, I'm grateful, but have you ever been somewhere where you've not wanted? That's the way I felt like yesterday. You know, KJ and a couple of the boys was carrying back to school supplies up from the basement that they had taken them and bringing them out so that they could be used. And the lady in the dark says, "What are you guys doing down here?" KJ, where are you at, man? He's in the back there. What else does she say to you, KJ? I really need it. And she was hateful. She's, here I was. They had a women's thing going on in there, and there was about 250 women gathered in the sanctuary. And I'm glad that they had a women's thing going on. But there wasn't a one of them, not a one of them, that came through the back doors to come out and even see what was going on. It was like, we're going to put you in the back parking lot where nobody can see you. We're going to have everything else out here in the front. We don't want anybody really to know that you exist. That was the way that I felt yesterday. And you know, you can huddle together over and over and over again. We can get in our clubs and become Pharisees in our clubs. And I'm not against the Christian Reformed Church. I am thankful. They have said, we're not reaching the people who've moved into our neighborhood. And the Brookside Church has said, Sunrise Baptist Church, we want you here. I'm thankful that they are allowing them to meet in their building and not charging them anything. They're in their meeting in their building. I'm thankful for that. I really am. I want you to know that. But I also realize, And I hope that they come to realize that we're all sinners. The people that's inside the sanctuary and the people out at the block party are both sinners. We all are. And we all have a need. And that need is a Savior. Amen? So that was the three people that was gathered there that day. So we have the problem that arose during the meal. I need a volunteer to come up here and dine on this platform today. Somebody want to come up here and dine? Anthony, would you come and dine with me today? Come and dine, brother. There's an old song that says, "Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine." How many remember that song? I do. Okay. Come up here and dine with me. Now if we was dining today, we'd get a chair and we'd sit at a table. But that's not the way that it happened back then. Let's lay down here, brother. Okay. There you go. It's really loud, isn't it? But they would recline on a couch, and they would use their left hand to kind of prop their head up. Then they would use their right hand to eat the food. It's kind of a neat way to come and dine, isn't it? Have you ever laid down to eat it other than being on your bed? I guess you may get full quicker this way. I may try this sometime. It may be a weight reduction thing. But this is the way that they did, that they come and dine. They would do that. And so, you know, when I think, I'm sorry I didn't have any food up here for you, brother, but it was a good illustration anyway. You know, when I'm thinking, you know, of this lady coming and washing his feet with her tears, I'm thinking of you know, sitting in a chair like that, like we would at our table. But that's not the way they did it. They reclined at the table, just like we did there. And so the problem arose is the sinful woman came into the presence of Jesus. And came into the presence, how dare her, of Simon the Pharisee. And as she came in, this woman was overwhelmed in Jesus' presence. I mean, when she came into the very presence of Jesus, she couldn't contain herself. She began to be emotional, and she began to weep. She was overwhelmed. She was just in awe of who He was. And so she begins to weep, just being in His presence. When is the last time that you've come into the presence of Jesus in such a way that you said, "Wow, oh, I'm sinful, and He is Savior"? When's the last time that you've been in His presence like that. Have you ever been in His presence like that? When you're just overwhelmed? Man, if you haven't, you are missing it. You're missing one of the greatest experiences of life. Of just being overwhelmed in His very presence. Begin to weep. You know, I don't know about you, but when I experience Jesus in this way, I can't keep the tears back. They just begin to flow. When I was younger, I tried to keep them back. But I don't want to do that anymore. I've learned I want to experience the awe of being in His presence. When she came there, she was overwhelmed because she saw who He was. And she saw who she was. In Jesus' presence, the sinful woman was humbled. The sinful woman was humbled in Jesus' presence. She was humbled to the point that she began to weep and the tears from her eyes fell on His feet. That's humility. Didn't say anything about it. Simon thought he had exposed Jesus as a fraud. Simon said, well, you know, if Jesus really been a prophet, if Jesus really been who He said He was, He would have known what kind of woman is touching Him right now. He didn't say that out loud, but he said it to himself. He was thinking it in his mind. And the thing about it is, Jesus knows our minds. Isn't that scary? Amen? Isn't that scary when you stop and think about it? That Jesus knows exactly what you're thinking right now. He's thinking, man, will this guy ever shut up today? Or whatever it may be thinking. You know, I don't know what you're thinking right now. And I'm glad that I don't know what you're thinking right now. Believe me. Some of you are saying, man, I'm hungry. And you know, that steak up there looked pretty good. I really don't know what you're thinking, but I guarantee you that Jesus in heaven today and the Spirit of God knows exactly what you're thinking right now. Jesus responds with a story. I love it. Jesus is always telling stories. He said, Simon, I've got something to say to you. It's not going to be good. I've got something I'm going to say to you. And he said, well, teacher, say on. Have you ever been asked a question at a table when there's a bunch of people around and you really didn't want to answer? How many have ever been there before? I was in Romania a few years ago, and believe me, when I was talking about fellowship, Lucas, they hang out, don't they, buddy? I miss that so much. I wish I was closer and didn't live 30 miles away because I miss having people at my house. I really do. But one of the things over in Romania, when you get done with the service, you go to somebody's house and you hang out for a while afterwards and just fellowship. Just talk about the service, talk about funny things. And I was sitting there and I shared before, and this girl asked me, said, Brother Ken, I got a question for you. I said, well, shoot. And she said, is it a sin for women to wear makeup? And I've shared that with you. And I'm thinking, I really don't want to answer this question. And the pastor's smiling from ear to ear like a mule eating briars and saying, go ahead, answer that question, Brother Ken. And so I did. I said, well, for whatever reason do you want to wear it, to glorify God or to glorify yourself or to make intention? Jesus tells a story. He said, Simon, I've got something to say to you. And Simon says, well, say on, teacher. Say on, master. He'd already felt like he was a fraud. He felt like he was a fake already. But in politeness, Simon says, go ahead and tell me. Because Simon's mind was already made up even before Jesus came to his house. His mind was already made up about the woman. Did not see any redemption. Didn't see any change. All he knows is what she had been. And I'm telling you what, Jesus takes the had-beens and the has-beens and transforms us into what He wants us to become. He changes our lives. And so he says, say on, teacher. And Jesus says, okay, this same creditor, this guy who lent out the money had lent one person 500 and another person 50, and neither one of them could pay for it. A denarii was about a day's wages, so one of them owed 500 days' wages. That's a long time. And another owed 50 days of wages, and that's long enough. One of them owed 50, and one of them owed 100, and so neither one of them could pay it back. And you know what? Whether it's 50 or 500, when you can't pay it, you can't pay it. Have we all been there? When you can't pay it, you can't pay it. And so the creditor said to the ones who owed him, "I forgive you of the debt." Both of them were forgiven of the debt. And Jesus said, "Simon, which one's going to love me more? The one that was forgiven 500 denarii or the one who was forgiven 50 denarii?" And he said, "Well, I suppose the one who was forgiven 50. And Jesus said, "You're right." And excuse me, the one who, 500. And Jesus said, "You're right, the one who was forgiven the most will love me more." So here's the perspective of what was going on. Simon saw the sin. Jesus saw the sinner. All Simon could see was this sinful woman. And all he could see was what this woman had done and how bad she's been. How many of us ever feel like that from time to time? I want you to know that's one of the reasons why God spoke to me. And I want you to know, early on in my ministry, I didn't want to preach. I didn't want to answer God's call into ministry because I know how bad I'd been. I know that I was a drunk when I was in high school. I know that I'd led a lot of people down the wrong direction. I know that I'd been a fornicator, which is having premarital sex. I knew all those things I'd done wrong. And folks, most other people did too. That was in my area. Most everybody knew me. I mean, it was a small town. And when you live in a small town, everybody knows what everybody else is doing. Have y'all figured that one out yet? I mean, they knew. I mean, sometimes it would get home before I did and what I'd done at night. That really blesses you when that happens, I'm telling you. You see, all Simon saw was the sin, but all Jesus saw was sinners who needed a Savior. And you know, we can focus on sin. We can focus on bad things. And man, there's a lot of it out there right now. We can focus on how bad sinners really are. And by the way, we all are sinners. But we need to focus on sinners. We need to focus on getting sinners to the Savior. That's the mission that God's given us, is seeing sinners come to the Savior. Simon saw the offenses. Jesus saw her need. Here was a lady who had been caught up in the act of prostitution, who lived a very sinful life. And Jesus saw her need to be forgiven, to have a fresh start in life. But all Simon could see was, this is a dirty, filthy sinner. I'm not saying she's ugly, because she probably wasn't. She's a dirty, filthy sinner, and I don't want her in my house. Jesus said, man, this lady's got a lot of need. Simon saw the depth of her depravity. I want you to know that we're all depraved. We are all depraved. He saw the depths of her depravity. He saw her life. Evidently, he had made it his business to know a lot about her. I find that quite interesting as well. But Jesus saw the magnitude of her love. Because when she came in, She wept and at his feet and awe in his presence, and she was humble with taking her hair of her head. I mean, she had to let her hair down. The women wore hair up at that time. She let her hair down. I mean, humility to wash his feet with and wipe her feet, wipe his feet with her hair. And then she took the anointing oil and this was a fragrant oil. It was very expensive. She could have paid the 500 denarii with the fragrance that she had. And when she says she broke a flask, it was something, it was a long neck bottle, and you had to break the top of it off. And after you broke the top of it off, there was no other use for that bottle. She broke the flask and poured it on Jesus' feet. And he said, Simon, when I come into your house, you didn't even give me water. You didn't even give me water to wash my feet. That's how much you cared about me. That's how much you did for me. You didn't even give me the courtesy of washing my feet. And by the way, if you wear sandals or flip-flops, you're probably going to need to wash your feet occasionally. Or barefooted, like my kids do most of the time, running around barefooted. KJ, please wash your feet before you run upstairs. Hello? He said, I come in here and I reclined at your table and you didn't even give me something to wash my dirty feet with. That's not even common courtesy. He said, you wasn't even courteous enough that when I came in to give me the water for my feet or a kiss to greet me. How many has ever been to a foreign country before? I tell you what, one of the first things that flipped me out was when this great big old guy went on each side of my cheek. I didn't like it. But I wasn't going to argue with him because he was two times bigger than I was. He asked me, do you want to arm wrestle me? I said, no, man, if I had me and three other people, I still wouldn't arm wrestle you. And he laughed. But when he kissed me on the cheek, and when I go back over there in December, when I see Sandul, he's going to kiss me on the cheek, and he has every right to do that. That's a customary greeting. He said, when I come into your house, you didn't really want me here. You didn't wash my, didn't even give me water. Not only did you not wash my feet, but you didn't even give me water to wash my own feet with. He said, you didn't give me a customary greeting on each side of my cheek. That's what Paul says, greet one another with a holy kiss. He said, you didn't even do that. He said, not only that, but he said, you're supposed to give me olive oil to anoint my head with and to kind of as a cooling and refreshing event. You didn't do that. And this woman, since she's been here, she's done all this and she broke the fragrance oil and poured it on my feet. And he says to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. I want to ask you, are your sins and has your sins been forgiven today? I tell you what, I'm so grateful to God that 50 people this summer has had their sins forgiven. I'm so grateful to God that a place that I've been praying for in Mound City and Cairo and Mounds, that I don't know if the lady yesterday was saved that was part of that area was African-American or white. But I can tell you this, that there's about 22 kids, African-Americans, who gave their life to Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. I've been praying for a movement of God for over 20 years for that area, for the African-American. None of that, but folks, we have people now who are not just talking about planning an African-American work there. They are on the process of getting it done. I'm thankful. You see, seeing sinful people come to a Savior. And it doesn't matter whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're purple or pink or red, like my head today. It does not matter. People need Jesus. And let's make it personal for just a moment or two today. How do you respond when you come into God's presence? How do you respond when you come into God's presence? I promise you, when you really come into His presence, you'll come with the awe-ness that this lady did. But I'm afraid that we've gotten so accustomed. We've come so accustomed that we've lost the sense of being overwhelmed when we come to Him in our prayer life. That's pretty personal. If you've lost that, it's time that you got it back. Yes, I know you can talk to Him like He's your best friend, and He should be. But I think we need to be overwhelmed when we think of who He is. who we are. It's ugly when we have a holier-than-thou attitude. You know, when we have a holier-than-thou attitude, nobody, but nobody wants to be around us. Simon had a holier-than-thou attitude. I'm better than that stinking sinner. I'm better than Jesus. That's exactly what he thought. I'm better than this Jesus guy who come here, who claims to be a prophet. At least I know that that lady is a sinner. So did Jesus. Yet Jesus had known everything that she'd ever committed. Every sin. And he still loves her. May I remind you that Jesus Christ knows every single sin that you have ever committed. And he still loves you. I am awestruck at that myself. Because I know me. You don't know me like I know me. I know how much he's forgiven me of. I was the 500 or 1,000 denarii that he's forgiven me. How much has the Lord forgiven you? How much has he forgiven you? Has he forgiven you little? You may be a young person here and you haven't been into the ghetto. You haven't been into the ways of the world a lot. I want you to know you need forgiveness just like a person who's owes the 500 denarii. You've not been a big, bad, ugly, bad person, but you still sin. And sin makes you guilty. How much have you been forgiven of? How much do you show him? How much you appreciate being set free? Does it show when you sing? Does it show when you pray? How about us just taking the time right now to say, thank you, Jesus. When you see my hands lifted, I'm saying, thank you, my Savior, for cleansing a filthy sinner like me. When I'm weeping, oh, of his presence. Last week when we shared about what had happened, or maybe the week before, Believe me, when I come up here to share, I didn't intend to weep about what took place down in Southern Illinois. I didn't intend to do that. But it happened. Just awfulness of who he is. How do you show him how much you appreciate your sins being gone? Stand with me this morning.